The economy created 192,000 jobs in February, and the unemployment rates dropped.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Happy Friday. Encouraging signs from the Labor Department Employment Report. Private sector job growth really took off, and the jobless rate at 8.9% is at a near two-year low. But while those numbers certainly sound better than the ones we saw during the recession, say, it doesn't help that some government workers are still losing their jobs. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Private employers created 222,000 jobs last month, a good thing because 30,000 government workers were laid off. Economists were expecting state and local governments to trim their payrolls and hoping the private sector would take up the slack. So far, private employers have delivered. Economist Joel Naroff is president of Naroff Economic Advisors.
When you lay off a teacher or a fireman or a policeman, that's a person who becomes unemployed. So that person has to find a job somewhere else, and it's obviously not going to be in the public sector with the cutbacks going on.
Naroff expects more government workers to lose their jobs in the future, meaning they'll also turn to the private sector. That means it'll take even longer for unemployment to fall back to normal levels. Even without government layoffs, we're still not creating enough new jobs every month to significantly lower the unemployment rate. About 6 million people have been out of work for more than 6 months. The longer you're unemployed, the harder it is to find a job. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
How's that employment report playing on Wall Street? Not so well. The S&P off about 0.2%, and the NASDAQ down about 0.4%. The Dow down 66 points to 12,192. News from the Commerce Department today that factory orders rose, but when you take out orders for airplanes and other transportation items, it was the smallest rise since last October. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker says he's going to start sending out layoff notices today to state workers. That's if he can't get at least one Democratic state senator back at the State House to vote on a budget bill that'll shred collective bargaining rights for public employees. Oil prices are hovering just above $103 a barrel in futures trading today, and now some members of Congress have jumped back onto the bandwagon asking President Obama to open the nation's strategic oil reserve. Now, advocates say doing so would bring down the price of gas, right now at $3.60 or more in California and other parts of the West. Severin Borenstein is with the Energy Institute over at the University of California, Berkeley, and he's with us right now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
The administration's expressed a little trepidation when it comes to opening up the oil reserve. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that there's some real concern about starting to tap the oil reserve when prices are high, but we're not seeing major disruptions in the oil market. The reason for having a strategic petroleum reserve is to be able to respond in case there is a significant change in the flow of oil. Although we've seen some production go offline, it's a pretty small part of the world oil market so far.
What would happen if we tapped into those reserves right now?
Well, the price of oil would fall a bit, probably driving down gas prices 5 or 10 cents a gallon. But it wouldn't have a major impact on the oil market because what we would release is would still be a small part of that world oil market. At this point, I think there's a lot of uncertainty, and the oil markets are reflecting that. There is a possibility that Libya will calm down fairly quickly, in which case oil prices would almost certainly fall quite a bit. There's also a possibility that it could spread. And in order to predict the price of oil at this point, you need to be able to predict the political upheaval in the Middle East. And no one seems to be very good at that.
I'm curious, Severin, because Libya produces, I mean, it's a pretty small percentage, right, of the world's oil. But these prices are going really high, really fast. So, I mean, what's to blame for this?
I think the oil markets are reflecting the real risk that this could spread.
Well, you say risk, right? Risk. Are we talking about speculators?
Certainly, speculators get in the market and buy and sell depending on what they think is going to happen. That's not a problem. That's actually helping the market reflect real risks that are out there. I don't think the concern that's sometimes voiced that it's speculators that are causing the high prices is really accurate. What's causing the high prices is real concern that we could have a disruption in the oil market.
Severin Borenstein, co-director of the Energy Institute over at UC Berkeley. Thank you.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com.
The NBA is going to make some history tonight when the Toronto Raptors and the New Jersey Nets play the first ever regular season game in Europe. Now, the league has played exhibition games all over the world, but this is the first game played globally that's going to count. The BBC's Alex Capstick reports the league has some big plans for Europe.
The two NBA teams playing in London this weekend are already aware of the need to spread their brand globally. The Toronto Raptors have six international players on their roster, while the New Jersey Nets are owned by a famed Russian billionaire. Basketball is already the second most popular sport in some European countries like Spain, Greece and Turkey. Avery Johnson is the coach of the New Jersey Nets. He says some of his players have complained about the long journey, but Johnson says they'll have to get used to it.
We've gone to China already in the preseason. We've gone to Russia. So it's a part of who we are. And it's also a part of the ever-changing culture of the NBA.
In fact, the NBA says its long-term aim is to create a team in Europe, and expanding into Europe would help the bottom line. The Nets and Raptors are both struggling to win games this season, so when they play each other back home, few fans attend. But both games in London are already sold out. I'm the BBC's Alex Capstick for Marketplace.
And finally, as if Sin City needed anything else to try and draw people to Las Vegas Boulevard, a developer wants to slap a big 500-foot Ferris wheel at the southern end of the Strip. It would be the tallest one in the Western Hemisphere and third tallest in the world, even higher than the one in London. So you'll be able to go up and down on the Strip in 2 minutes flat, just like your bank balance after a trip to one of those casinos. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org, where you can share your thoughts with us there. And I'm on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The revolutions in the Arab world have given citizens a voice in more ways than you might think.
The fear that the phones are tapped and oh, we cannot speak is over.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Saudi Arabians find the courage to speak out. That story, the day's business news, and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.